This is a Christian Science Prayer Treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website is mbeinstitute.org. The topic is Omniscient. Solution: no obstacle, including malpractice. This is part two on the topic of omniscient. Solution: however, the malpractice is a focus that was not covered in the prior one. To review, omniscient includes omni-intelligent, omni-wise, and omni-knowing. Solution refers generically to any type of discord whatsoever. What is malpractice? The word M-A-L means bad. Practice means that you are involved in an activity that is repetitive. The word practice is often applied to someone in a profession that is offering their services to the public. Whenever humanity is involved, there is malpractice involved. In other words, one individual trying to influence another individual erroneously. And it could be on a collective basis or even a universal basis. And it could be only one individual making the effort to influence erroneously, or it could be a group of people of any size. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, included a chapter in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is chapter 5, entitled Animal Magnetism Unmasked. It is a very short chapter, but it is extremely important. The theme is that evil is deceptive, and to really discover it and expose it, we must remove the mask. If we do not remove the mask and destroy it, then we have continuing problems. We may be conscious of the problem or unconscious. It could be Connecticut, meaning active right now, or it could be latent. As long as it has not been exposed and destroyed, the progress of one's spiritual advancement will be hindered. There is a project by one of the U.S. government's largest agencies called Project Mockingbird. That is a project wherein they are endeavoring to influence the thought of the entire population such that their goal is to make the entire population to believe a lie to be the truth. From time to time, whomever is the director at the time the statement is made will make statements such as the progress. About 60 years ago, a statement was made to which I referred a moment ago, and that is they will find that their program has been effective when everything everyone believes is false. More recently, there was a statement made by a different director that they were sure their program would be successful because they were able to control, as of that moment, were able to control all of the main media. So their purpose would be to announce something that was false to be true and they would do it on a repetitive basis until the individual that was passive, as opposed to actively objecting to it, would believe it to be true. One can imagine how dangerous this is, for it enables that agency to control the thought of everyone that is thereby influenced. And controlling all of the major media, they were able to do it in a mass operation in a much shorter time than they would be otherwise. In recent years, the term media has been expanded to include what individuals are naming as social media. So, in other words, they have been a direct influence by utilizing the social media to do exactly the same thing that they were utilizing the typical media, such as the cable stations, television, radio, and so forth. They use other tactics besides just influencing the thought, and that is through the education system. The education system has become so rotten that our present president has made the decision to shut down the Department of Education because it was rotten through and through. It was lowering the moral fabric of all of America. And of course, this has been going on in other countries as well, because it has been a global effort by those who have been endeavoring to take over the control of the entire world population. The so-called pandemic, wherein they mandated for individuals to wear a mask, stay a certain distance away from other people, and not assemble in groups. They tried to promote the name of a disease, and they said this is contagious, and the only way to save the population was to follow their instructions. And they eventually required people to stay at home. Wearing a mask is like breathing the exhaust out of a vehicle. Your own exhaling produces a poisonous air to humans. However, not to plants. Plants take it in as air and convert it to oxygen. Since the very beginning of television, they have been utilizing these evil activities through what is called subliminal advertising. That is the type of advertising where there are flashes of video that are flashed so fast that one doesn't recognize it at the time that it is presented in front of them. However, the human mind photographs everything, even though we may not be conscious of it. Those that are deemed to have a photographic memory are only able to retrieve what has been photographed, which is really in the mind of everyone, but they have a special skill in order to bring it forth and recognize it. There was a speed reading training course that taught one how to retrieve the information that was recorded by the images, which were done automatically and unconsciously. It did not stay on the market very long and probably was put out of business by governments. From the very beginning of humanity, there has been an effort by some so-called minds to control other minds. As long as humanity has been in existence, there have been these efforts. This has been a result of focusing on the second chapter of Genesis starting with verse 4, and being taught by the churches that that is the real man and that that is who we are. But one must be alert in their research. And Mary Baker Eddy brought out that the word that is used for God in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2 is Elohim. But starting with verse 4, the word from the original language is Jehovah. And at the beginning of the second account of human history, beginning with the mentioned chapter 2 and verse 4, it states there went up a mist. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a fog that was so thick you could not see the hand in front of you. Any kind of a mist is going to cause a distortion of the view. The problem is, most people are not reading carefully the words that are presented. And they listen to what they are told and follow like sheep. So when the churches have told the individual that they are born a sinner, it is believed. Which, of course, is the opposite of the truth about man. Like anything that is a problem, it is foolish to look to an individual as the cause, for the cause of every problem is impersonal. Therefore, the solution is impersonal. We could get rid of an individual that appeared to be the cause of the problem, but that individual can only be replaced by someone else, and the problem persists. Therefore, we must go to the root, which is not an individual, but is the whole concept of how many minds are there that are controlling the universe. Mary Baker Eddy, in her discovery of Christian Science, has made it very clear of exactly what is the composition of the term that everyone refers to as God. One can look on page 465, which is Recapitulation, which is the chapter that summarizes chapters 1 through 13, and the very first topic she covers is on page 465, and it is God. So she's telling us that the very most important thing we could ever study about in order to understand anything about Christian Science is to learn about what is God. God is defined as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Everyone is asleep, otherwise we would all be walking on water. I don't know of anyone that is. Do you know anyone that is capable of following in the footsteps of Jesus? In Genesis 1, beginning with verse 27, it says, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness." Then God made us after his image and after his likeness. So what is step number one? One must open consciousness to the truth, to let it be recognized and accepted. Then God reveals to us the truth. Often, Jesus would ask the individual that he was confronted with that had a problem that was visible, he would say, "Do you have faith you can be healed. He had a very difficult time in the area where he was so-called born and raised as a young man up through age 30, actually. Galilee, they didn't believe he was anything special. He was a very humble man, so he didn't think of himself as being special, but he did understand how to utilize the truth and let it heal with his assistance in waking up the individual to be receptive. The first quote at the beginning of Science and Health is the words of Jesus recorded by John in the Gospel of John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one, from Mary Baker Eddy herself. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. Those three quotes tell the whole story of Christian Science. We must focus on the truth. We must understand it. That means we have to live it. Then we will be set free from believing anything that is not the truth to be a lie. And therefore, it will no longer restrict our existence. The second one tells us very clearly, how are we going to think? If we want to think sickly thoughts, then expect to have an experience that follows that thought. If we want to think godlike thoughts, we will experience what incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love represent in qualities. The formula is very simple. Couldn't be more straightforward. But do we have the discipline? In the early days, one of Mary Baker Eddy's students sent a letter to Mary Baker Eddy indicating she had a vision problem that she was not able to heal. Mary Baker Eddy replied in a letter that said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" That's the key. What are we going to focus on? What I just said. The definition of God. And anything else that seems appropriate. The definition of man. The definition of good. The glossary is full of extremely important definitions. And as mentioned, recapitulation summarizes the entire first 13 chapters of the textbook, and it is in 24 question and answer format, gets right to the point with every single major topic. Richard Strain was having a very difficult time with his life. He's one of our listed authors. You can read all about it. He was working 18 hours a day, home only 6 hours a day. And that barely gave him enough time to sleep, eat dinner, and then eat breakfast and get out the door to start another 18-hour day. He went to a practitioner and he told her the woes just mentioned. And she said, "When do you study?" "I don't have time to study." If you don't study 5 hours a day, you cannot work yourself out of that hole. You cannot progress spiritually. She said nothing else. After some time contemplating it there right in front of her, he decided he had no alternative. He said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." And he did it. And by the end of 1 week, there had been so much improvement in his life that he could get the normal amount of sleep, get more work done than he ever got done previously, and he was on the path of spiritual advancement. Sometime after that, he became a very popular speaker at the churches. And of course, he had a real life experience to relate, to let everyone know how important it was to study seriously every day. One of the greatest performers of piano for social activities said that if he didn't practice every day and he missed one day, he would know it. If he missed 2 days, the critics would know it. And if he missed 3 days, the public would know it. Vladimir Ashkenazy, considered one of the greatest pianists of all time, he was asked, "How can you play with such perfection?" "I practice, practice, practice until the music plays me." The wisdom that is being related to you right now is of utmost value. We teach what you need to know about Christian Science in these recordings. We have over 100 authors on the website. The finest group of writings in Christian Science. But we can't be the one to do it for you. That has to come from within anyone who has a burning desire to get on the track, on the path leading to God. Transformation from a focus on a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence to a spiritual sense. It has never been easier in our life. From the standpoint of tools that are available. Mary Baker Eddy didn't have the tools we have. Certainly Christ Jesus didn't have the tools. We give you specific instructions on how to heal anything you want to heal. If you follow those instructions, you will find you can heal any problem that you're faced with. Any. Mary Baker Eddy said that if we don't do our work, and this was 115 years or more ago, if we don't do our work, civilization will be faced with the most serious and deepest and longest dark ages in the history of mankind. And we're right now on the precipice. Fortunately, we are moving away from that precipice thanks to the present administration. And today is May 15, 2025. So you know very well who's running the show in terms of the single number one top man in the administration. But there's been a transformation with him whereby he has increasingly stated that he looks to God for help. And he specifically defines that that is the ultimate authority. Not his business experience, and he has more than anyone else that is living today in terms of negotiating capability. He's considered the master of negotiation. He brought a major part of his investment, his business, out of almost bankruptcy. And he wrote a book on that. Making deals. How do you make deals? The art of the deal. The art of negotiation. He's written many books to share what he has learned through his business career. And his name represents quality from beginning to end. The ones who take advantage of the accommodations he has to offer, whether it's a hotel, exclusive shopping within the hotels, golf course, and they vote periodically, I think it's annually, on their favorite place, and this is all done independently, and it's not like there's an organization that ranks these places. The people that stay there are the only ones that can vote. Consistently, he's number one. Because he really cares about his customer. Sam Walton built Walmart to be the largest retailer of consumer products in the world based on one thing. Do you know what it was? Customer satisfaction. Take back anything, anytime, for any reason, and we'll give you a choice of your money back or a store credit if you want to go and do some shopping. That one simple little thing instead of costing the store money, it cemented the loyalty of its customers, who spread the word among their friends, family, business associates, and so forth. Customer service. What is customer service? It is giving. If you're trying to control the mind, and let's say we're talking about the human mind, because there's only one divine mind, and that cannot be controlled by anyone, because God is the only power. So if you want to control a mind, the only one you can control is the fake mind. So what are you doing if you control the thoughts of someone else? Are you giving? Or are you taking? Are you loving? Or are you hating? Are you in the realm of matter or in the realm of spirit? Are you in the realm of principle or the realm of chaos and discord and imbalance? Are you in the realm of life or of death? Of material sensation or spiritual senses? In the realm of mind, the one and only divine mind, or in the realm of a so-called mortal mind, which Mary Baker Eddy defines as an oxymoron, because mind is not mortal. So you're saying mind, which is immortal, with the term mortal. So it's an oxymoron, which means the two words are diametrically opposed. Are you in the realm of truth or error? The seven synonymous terms for God were just covered. And in every case, if you're trying to control another individual in any way, shape, or form, you're violating the very core of what represents the one and only power in the entire realm of all existence, which is God. Do you ask God to do something for you in your prayer? God, please do this. Please do that. Please give me this. Please show me how to do this. Do you think God has any ears? God is all hearing, but he doesn't have any organs that are made out of matter, so-called. Everything is already done. Everything is already perfect. Read chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2 of Genesis, and it tells you everything is perfect. That's the last statement made in the seventh day of creation, just before you begin chapter 2, verse 4. Everything was created. Very good, it says. How does the glossary define good? On 587, it defines good. God. Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. That's the definition of good. And Genesis 1, right there at the end, in the last few verses, before verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, "And everything is very good." That means it's all godlike. Omniscience means intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. So everything created is intelligent, it's wise, and the consciousness makes it known if we will open up our thought. Will we do it? Will we let the consciousness that is perfect be our consciousness? Bicknell Young raised himself from the dead. He was drowned. He was the first one that publicly stated what Mary Baker Eddy said when she said there is only one God. She said it many times in many different ways. The definition of good says that God is omniscient, and that means one, only, and all. Omni means one, only, and all. Everything about God is omni. There is no competition. There is no opposition. Because God is the only Mary Baker Eddy asked Laura Sargent, one of her top students, who was living with her, working on her CSD degree, Doctor of Christian Science. And Mary Baker Eddy asked her one day, "Do you sometimes forget?" What do you think the answer was? Do you have any guess? Mind never forgets. That was the answer. Mary Baker Eddy had no more questions for her. She passed the quiz with an A+. And that's exactly why she gave a number of students the opportunity to get day-to-day instructions from her on how to live the life of a Christian Scientist. They could control the weather, electricity, and every problem that came up. We have to let our consciousness be open. We have to close it to anyone that's trying to control our thoughts. We must understand Chapter 5, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, because we must stop malpractice in its tracks. We are not individually responsible for everyone in the universe, but we should pray consistently, like Mary Baker Eddy did, who did it 3 times a day, for all humanity. And that should include that no one can be under the erroneous influence of a government, a collective group, or an individual. No one. Right there is a short prayer. We should have something longer than that, but at least that is a start in the right direction. Mary Baker Eddy, in her final class of the Metaphysical College, which was the only college wherein she could present the certificate of Doctorate of Christian Science, and in that final class, the only students that could attend were ones she individually invited. And they were all awarded a CSD degree if they completed it satisfactorily. We have to understand that we should be using Christian Science as a preventative, a current active, and a permanent way of life. We can learn how to prevent most every problem. And of course, if we're understanding it well enough, we can prevent every problem. The seven terms for God were mentioned, and there's four operators. Just like in mathematics, you have Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And in the system of divine metaphysics, which is how she describes on page 146, the system that she has given to us, and if we learn it adequately, we will be able to heal any problem. It states this: divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. To a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus's healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And on page 330, she states the following: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And then from page 330 to 340, those 11 pages include the 32 planks. Remember what she says: understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness. How do you think that's going to happen? Well, you start by reading it and studying it. And your next step is a very important step, which I will describe in a moment. And the third step is to live it. Live it. Love has one very important meaning that is more important than any other. And of course, it really encompasses all of the other terms that represent love. But that is, it is giving. Living a life of giving. Jesus was a perfect example. Paul was an excellent example once he became Paul. That's when he was converted from Saul, where he was persecuting the Christians, to Paul, where he was promoting it. A life of giving. How much in money have you given to someone in need? To everyone that you've given in the last 12 months? Answer only to yourself. You don't need to answer to anyone else. You need to recognize yourself if you are an individual of taking or of giving. there's a very good chance that you are a individual that only takes. And if you give, you're giving very little compared to what you're taking. Tiny amount. A tiny percentage, a tiny decimal of what you take do you give. It's true of almost every human being. And the ones that really are big givers, they want credit for it. They want their name on the building that they paid for, or the university that they built. They want their name spread all around so people know it was them that did it. That's taking. And the taking overpowers the giving. So they're better off not giving anything instead of trying to promote their own ego. Because their ego overshadows what they gave. It doesn't matter how much they gave. Jesus was humble. He washed the disciples' feet. He didn't say, "Look how great I am." Even though he's been the most perfect man that ever walked on the globe. Instead of asking God to give you something, try thinking within your own thoughts what and to whom you can give to. You should be constantly searching for those that are in need and see how you can help without any sense of ego and, if possible, not even identifying who you are. Don't be driving a Rolls Royce or some $200,000 or $300,000 sports car into the street where the homeless are living. Ride a bicycle or walk. Dress in very plain clothes. And if you're a movie star, where you think everyone knows you wherever you go, or the wealthiest man in the world that everyone knows what he looks like, then you have to do other things to masquerade. Because it's better for them not to know who is doing this gesture. I will warn you right now that I don't know of a single charity, I'm talking about a big one, that people normally think of as where they would give their money. For example, the Red Cross or any number of other ones. Almost every single one is corrupt from beginning to end. They didn't start out that way. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross, and she's one of the greatest women, next to Mary Baker Eddy, that ever lived. Read on our website what she said about Mary Baker Eddy. They lived at the same in the same era. What do you think Einstein stated about Mary Baker Eddy? He said, "Blessed art thou," with a capital T. "For everything that is in this book," Science and Health, with key to the scriptures. Can you imagine a man that spent his life studying about matter? You know, he was a physicist. He studied about matter. Making a statement like that, he totally divorced himself from his life's work in making a statement like that. He further said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. See, he emphasized a woman because a woman could not vote or hold title to property. They were considered a second-class citizen. In Jesus' day, when he had 4,000 that listened to his sermons one day on the hillside and 5,000 another day, they counted only the men. They said 4,000 men plus women and children. 5,000 plus women and children. So instead of 4,000 people there, there were probably 25,000. And more at the other one. So he probably preached to 45, 50, 60,000 people. And who do you think probably learned the most? The children. Because they have an innocent thought. And Jesus loved to teach them. For exactly that same reason. They didn't have to get rid of a whole life full of lie upon lie about material man and being born a sinner and all that kind of thing. They were extremely receptive and responsive to what he was teaching. The most important thing we can do in our prayer treatments is to make sure that we're sticking very closely to the definitions of God and also man. That definition's in the glossary. Part of it says the compound idea of infinite mind, of all right ideas, composed of all right ideas. The glossary is a very important chapter, because if you don't understand the terms that are used in the Bible, then there's no way you can get the spiritual interpretation. Most people don't have a clue about what the Lord's Prayer means. A Christian Scientist should read the Lord's Prayer carefully with the spiritual sense as provided by Mary Baker Eddy, if not once a day, several times. Not once, but several times. She says that if you have the spiritual sense, understand the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, you can heal anything you have a problem with. Anything. It's all tucked in that one short little prayer. Did you know that the 7 days of creation that are detailed in the area I told you, Genesis 1 through verse 3 of Genesis 2, and the Lord's Prayer, and the seven terms for God, and the Beatitudes, and the Ten Commandments, all are aligned idea by idea the same way. The first main thought is on the topic of mind, which is the first day of creation. The second main thought is on the topic of spirit. The third one, soul. The fourth one, principle. Life, truth, and love. That's it. All of those things are lined up in exactly a perfect sequence for the 7 days of creation. Every one of them. I doubt if you knew that. We teach you those kinds of things in our prayer treatments. Now, I will warn you that if you really want to learn Christian Science and be able to heal anything you want, you're going to have to do something that you think is very strange. And that is, I'll tell you right now in brief terms, we have it all detailed on the website, but just very quickly, you first of all read. Second of all, you think about it. Third of all, you record it exactly the way it is in your own voice. Then you think about it some more and consider, how can I change the words to be in my own words and maintain the same meaning? That's what I'm doing in this prayer treatment. That's what we should be doing with everything we read. And then you record that. You record it in your own words. And then what do you think you do? You listen to it. You listen to the original, and you listen to your individual understanding, interpretation, translation of what you read. And you do this a topic at a time. Now, Science and Health has as many as 3 or 4 topics on every page. And they're right there in text so that you know. This is the topic to this amount of words. This is the topic to this section. This is the topic to this section. 700 pages, and there's a large number of topics. You stop at the end of every topic. In other words, you're not reading a whole chapter, not even reading a whole page. You're reading, well, some pages only have one topic on it. Some topics go more than one page, but that's rare. Usually it's 3 or 4 topics per page. You stop at the end of the topic, and you tear it apart and follow the procedure I just mentioned. Remember, you have to listen to it in your voice. You should have it with you all the time. If you're waiting in a traffic jam, listen to it. If you're at a long line at the grocery store, listen to it. If you're taking a shower, whatever you're doing, you're in the kitchen. You can figure out the tools to use to make this happen. Some people use their cell phone with ear plugs. I don't like a cell phone myself because I like large screens with where I can see a lot of things at once. And I use speakers so I can go 30, 40 feet away and hear it very clearly, 50 feet. So if I'm doing something that's, you know, that far away inside the house, I can hear it. You would be surprised how many times that you listen to your own translation of it, and you'll say, wow, where did that come from? You won't even remember. Because if you're really searching for the truth comes forward. Not from you, but from divine mind. That's what you're listening for. What does this really mean to me? And you rewrite the entire textbook. Topic at a time. And remember, you're always looking at the original text and recording that. So you go all the way through the textbook, starting with those first three quotes at the beginning of the book. And don't forget to look at the picture of Mary Baker Eddy. You won't find that in any books that you read, because the church hated her so much that the day she passed on, well, she left, she didn't pass on, it's very clearly that she experienced something different than death. And she appeared alive to her closest ones in her household after she was deemed dead, in another room in the house. But anyway, you need to go from beginning to end of the textbook in sequence. Now, if you want to jump ahead, that's got to be on your extra time. You should start a system of deep study and do what I mentioned. You will have so much growth, just like Richard Strain. Total transformation. It will affect every phase of your life. You will get more things done in less time. You will spend more time on quality spiritual activities and less on material. You'll be looking for spiritual love, spiritual mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, instead of a sensational one, a sensuous one. You're building up permanent qualities, a permanent way of life, instead of something that comes and goes in a very short time. What has been related to you here is extremely valuable. Mary Baker Eddy said, "Follow me only as far as I follow the Christ." I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to follow the truth. Follow Christ Jesus, the way-shower, Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader. Other brilliant Christian Scientists, Frederick L. Rawson, one of the most brilliant of all. He said, "We're on this earth to do one thing, to make other people happy." How much protection do you think we have from evil thoughts of anyone that tries to control our thoughts if we conduct ourselves in the manner that is described here? They don't have a chance. And they, remember, is evil. It's not a person. It's not a government. Evil doesn't have a chance. If we live a life of love, live a life of giving. By the way, the Bible says to tithe. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? There are tons of ways to give. Tons of ways. Money is only one. Everything about you is on the block. It's on the auction block. For giving away. Everything. From the moment you rise from your rest and ready to get ready to go out for the day, there's probably something you can give. If you do anything at all, you can probably give something away from what you're doing. If you know anything of value about anything, you can share it. I know a fellow that was approaching his vehicle after coming out of a large department store, And a man walked up to him. He was dressed fine. He's clean. Looked okay. Looked like a man that was on the way to work. And he asked for a donation. And the fellow asked him, this is a true story. The fellow asked him, why do you want the money? Why do you need the money? It'd been easy for him to just flip the money or hand him $5 or $10 or whatever that he felt like he was going to do. But no. He was trying to live a life of giving. Giving something more valuable than just money. So he started questioning him. And he said, I lost my job. And now I'm out of money. I don't even have money for gas for my vehicle. He rode a motorcycle, which doesn't take hardly anything to operate. Don't have a job, don't have any money to even go and look for one. Well, he could walk a little bit. It was a low population area in a low population part of the area. It was not a major city. It was a small, very small city. So he said, what do you do? He said, I'm a handyman. I can fix anything. Electrical, plumbing, carpentry. I love to fix things. And I love to be creative about doing it. He ended up hiring him to do a number of things he had on a list he'd been accumulating for several months. He did everything on the list. Took him 3 months. By the time he got done, the fellow had a full-time job offered to him that was to be ready to start the next day, the day after he finished. Now, that is a way to give. That is a way to give. Not just giving him some money, which would last for whatever, very short time. Even if he gave him $100, it's not going to solve the problem. What solved the problem was him being interested in helping the individual solve his problem. That was the highest value of what took place. Are we willing to give or just take? You take away someone's pride, someone's value of themselves. And I'm not saying pride is good, but you take a little piece out of them if all you do is give them money. But if you help them solve their problem, you're giving them something much more valuable. Andrew Carnegie, back around the 1900, was one of the wealthiest men in North America. And he worked very hard, very wisely and smartly to build a steel company that he sold to a group of investors who named it U.S. Steel. And he had several hundred million dollars that he got from the sale. What did he do with it? He was too smart to give the money away, so he invested it in something that would be helpful to the public. A lot of things, as a matter of fact. He built libraries, universities, things along that line. So he gave them a product. He didn't give them money. Usually when people get money given to them, they don't do a very good job of managing it. If they did, they wouldn't be in the trouble that they're in. But he wanted ego. So his name is all over North America. Carnegie Library. And not only North America, he did this in the UK also. And I'm not saying that what he did was wrong. What I'm saying is one step better would have been to be to think of a generic name instead of a personal name where he was getting an ego forever. Anyone looks at the building or the university or library or whatever, they're going to see it. Carnegie. So, giving it is very important, but trying to do it as anonymously as possible is very, very important. Bliss Knapp was raised by Mary Baker Eddy from the time he was around 7 or 8 years old. His father, Ira Knapp, was one of Mary Baker Eddy's first lecturers that traveled around the U.S. back around 1880. And his mother had a tragic accident. And so Mary Baker Eddy took him under her tutelage. And the father went around lecturing. When Bliss Knapp passed on, how much do you think he was worth? He didn't spend any time on investments. None. But what do you think that the value of his estate was? It was around, I think it was around 1960. $400 million. He was led through his understanding of Christian Science on exactly where to invest the money. And it took no management. He held on to it for his entire life, never gave it another thought. And then in his will, he disposed of it. He didn't sell it. He never sold it. He never got any money out of his investment. And he was one of the wealthiest people in the U.S. If you calculate that based on just the increase in the consumer price index, which is a very modest percentage, I think it comes out to something like $3.3 billion. $3.3 billion. A Christian Scientist that spent his life teaching others, lecturing, being a Christian Science practitioner. About $3.3 or $3.4 billion. Money didn't mean a thing to him. Not a thing. Robert C. Putnam, next to Mary Baker Eddy, is probably the finest Bible scholar you'll ever be able to study. He was a student of Bliss Knapp. He wrote a book called 10 Bible Lessons. 169 pages. If you study that book, you will learn everything you need to know about the Bible. Now that book, I will warn you, is an index or a summary of the Bible. And there are hundreds of pages of references, all from the Bible, Bible quotes, to help you understand the summary and the index. But he covers every important character, every important event in the Bible. And Bible Lesson 9 is about Christ Jesus, and 10 is about the Second Coming. So you can guess who's covered in that. Most people don't know that Jesus, after ascending, came back and met with John on the island of Patmos and dictated to John the book of Revelation. I doubt if you knew that. It's all documented. The Bible verses that lay it all out are in that 10 Bible lesson book. That's one of the authors on our website. Think about it. The manual of the Mother Church, you should look up the definition of church, has nothing to do with a group of people, has nothing to do with a building, has nothing to do with the bureaucracy. If we're good Christian Scientists, we are all automatically members of church. Not one that is controlled by a board of directors. The one that is defined in science and health. She clearly states in the manual that, number one, every church must have their own bylaws. They cannot use the bylaws that are in the manual, which is for only one church, and that's the church in Boston, which was meant to be the church for the people that live in the area and attend that as their church, period. The manual clearly states that almost every function of the church expires when she passes on, or after, shortly after, you know, a few years, because it requires her signature to continue. They cannot have Christian Science teachers. They cannot have Christian Science practitioners. They have no control over any church. They have no control over anyone that wants to give a talk in anywhere about Christian Science. They don't have any control about anyone that wants to start a Christian Science church. Period. Because Mary Baker Eddy's not there to sign it. And there's no one there to sign for their membership, so that you can't become a member of the church in Boston. Unless you live in Boston and that's your church. And then the people are supposed to handle locally those people that want to become a member of the church. How many people realize what I just said? If you've been in Christian Science any number of years, you will know that that's the opposite of the way things have been handled. Almost everyone just accepts being in a herd like a sheep, and they don't pay attention to what they read. If you read, it tells you exactly what I'm telling you. And Christian Science is not even treated as a religion by the law, because she set it up different. She set it up under trusts that would be governed by the rules of the land as any other business is governed. Any other trust is governed. So this garbage about separation of church and state and the government court system has no jurisdiction over the Christian Science churches is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Most people that attend a Christian Science church are under mind control and have been, unless they're old enough to have been alive when Mary Baker Eddy passed on, which was 115 years ago. This is the truth about most organizations. They rot from within the inside because they don't follow the ideals of the institution the way it was founded. And why? Because they believe they were born a sinner. The Adam dream. They accept it. It's not my fault. I was born a sinner. I can't help it. And it's very common for the ones who are in the organization to get rid of the one that founded the organization. Many organizations begin by theft from outside. All the social media, the big social media companies, were founded on theft. There was one guy and their family who programmed what is being used by several of the largest social media companies that stole it from them. So they started out by being corrupt. Same with the largest computer company. Started out by being corrupt. Stole the idea from someone else. Rarely does a human follow the golden rule. Oh, it's okay. The other people are doing it. Yeah, I can be rotten because everyone else is rotten. Everything we do, we get a credit for. Everything we steal, we get a debit for. When most people leave this earth, going through the belief of passing on, they're in debit. They're not in a net credit. They don't really understand the universal laws that govern everything. Everything. You must realize you have to live a life of giving if you want to make progress in your life. You will never out-welcome, no matter where you are, if you have a life of giving. That's living the golden rule. Think about what you can give. Money is one thing. And yes, you should give the equivalent of at least 10%. And I don't mean give money directly, but use money. Use that amount of money to help others. You're not going to find hardly any organization that is worth giving money to because it's all stolen by the people that receive it. It never gets to the people that are supposed to benefit. So yes, in fact, that's an average person. Are you an average person? Are you a C student? Well, 10% is for the average person. Should be much more if you want to be a B student, an A student. How about being a perfect student? When a Pharisee asked Jesus, "How can I obtain eternal life?" And he said, "Well, you know the commandments. You know the golden rule. He said, since my youth,